coming up on Marriage Today with Jimmy and Karen.
I loved the Lord, but I was afraid of those moments of silence because I knew in those moments I was vulnerable because God was wanting to talk to me about some things I didn't want to talk about. They hurt too much. There was too much shame there. The devastation of certain events in my childhood. And let me tell you about the silly thing about hiding from God. You're hiding from your healer. This morning, I want to talk to you about the five emotional facts of life. And these are things that are true for all of us. And the first is life hurts, just period. God never promised us a life without pain. He just promised us that he would be there to heal us and to help us in the circumstances. Whether it's our own sin or failure, parental failure, death of loved ones, especially when it's untimely or tragic, disappointments, abuse, rejection, betrayal, whatever it might be, life hurts. And it's just inevitable that the older we get, the more hurt there's going to be in our lives. The second emotional reality of life is, unless we deal with pain properly, when it occurs, it accumulates within our hearts. And this is why I call the series The Hurt Pocket. There's a place in our hearts that when we don't deal with pain properly, it drops in that pocket, that place there where hurt accumulates. And, you know, there are two unfortunate realities in life. And the first is very few of us know how to deal with pain when we're growing up and even as adults. If you have really wise parents who are godly people and who help pastor you through the difficulties of life, you're very, very blessed. But most of us were not in that circumstance. And even if our parents were Christians, most of them don't know how to deal with pain. And so we just kind of do our best. And in my life, I'm going to tell you about some of the things that happened to me in my life. But as things happened to me in my life that were painful, I didn't know how to deal with pain. So I just didn't. I just hid it. I just denied it. I pretended it didn't exist, but I had problems later on with that. The other unfortunate reality is that time heals nothing. And there's this old saying that time heals all wounds. No, it does not. Time heals nothing. In my opinion, pain gets worse over time. Number three, emotional reality of life, emotional fact of life, is accumulated pain and unresolved problems compromise our mental, emotional, spiritual, and relational health. As things accumulate within our lives, they begin to compromise us. That's why the hurt pocket needs to be emptied on a regular basis. We're going to experience pain, and as we experience that pain, once we know how to deal with that pain, we can keep that pocket empty. But unfortunately, when we don't know how to deal with pain and we're dealing with it in wrong ways, the more that accumulates within our hearts, the more it compromises us. Now, I'm going to tell you my silly story. And the reason I'm telling you this is kind of a silly story, this is something that in my life that happened to me that illustrates this point. But this is not the worst thing that ever happened to me. There were things that happened to me when I was growing up that were devastating to me. But I can't share them. It just wouldn't be appropriate. But I'm going to share this. And I only say that to say, as I'm telling this, I just don't want you to be thinking, well, Jimmy, boo-hoo, you know, I'm sorry for you, but you should have lived my life. Well, I understand. And I'm sure that there are many of you that had more painful experiences than I did. But this is not the most devastating thing that happened. But it changed my personality. And it proves this point. When I have two older brothers, Damien and Lucifer. And they... And we all went to the same schools. While I was growing up, we never moved when I was growing up, but we went to the same schools. And so my brothers went 6 years at Paramount Terrace Elementary School. I went 5 years there. And in the sixth grade, between my fifth and sixth grade years, they changed the boundaries. And so I was informed in the summer between the fifth and sixth grade that I was going to have to go to Coronado Elementary School the next year. Well, that, you know, I would say the word devastating, but you know, it wasn't that bad. But I took it hard, an 11-year-old boy. And so they told me, you're not going to be able to see your friends again at Paramount Terrace. You have to go to Coronado. Well, at the end of that year, they changed the boundaries again. And they told me that I could go back over to the junior high that my brothers had gone to, that all of my Paramount Terrace friends were at. So eagerly, I went over to Crockett Junior High and had two great years. Played football, basketball, track, had great friends, wonderful experience. And then in the ninth grade, they changed the boundaries again. And so in the year between the summer, between the eighth and ninth grade, I was informed that I couldn't go to Crockett. I had to go to Stephen F. Austin. So I just didn't want to. So my parents went back down to the school administration office, and they told my parents, well, okay, since this has happened to him before, he can go to Crockett, but he can't play sports. He's ineligible. And so he can't play sports. So I thought, well, okay, I hate that, but, you know, I'll just watch my friends play and I'll, you know, tough out the year and go on to high school. So I didn't play sports, but I went and watched my friends. And so I was on the sidelines during the football game, watching my friends. And there was this vending truck at the end of the football field. One of those kind, you know, pulls up and lifts up the side and they have soft drinks and candy bars and those kinds of things. So I went down and bought a Coke. And I was standing there buying the Coke, and the cheerleaders, I knew the cheerleaders on the other team. And while I was standing there, they walked up, started talking to me, kind of started flirting with me. Who can blame them? Think about it. And so they walk up, start talking to me. So I talked to them, walked back to the other side of the field, you know, watched the rest of the football game, came to school the next morning, and there was a note for me to go to the principal's office. And you know how that is. You know that's not good news. And on the way down there, I thought, well, what? You know, why am I being called down? I knew there were many reasons capital punishment might be appropriate, but I was just trying to figure out, you know, what it was. So anyway, I get to the principal's office and the principal says, bend over, you're getting swats. I said, excuse me? He said, bend over, Evans, you're getting swats. And I said, what for? He said, you know what for. And again, I was calculating, I wasn't going to confess anything. I was just thinking, okay, what did I get caught at? And I said, sir, I don't know what for. And he said, you went to that vending truck yesterday at the ball game. Now bend over. I said, yes, sir. I went down and bought a Coke. And he said, and those cheerleaders came up and you started talking to them. And I said, yes, sir. He said, it's against school rules to go to the other side of the field during a football game. And I said, sir, I didn't go to the other side of the field. I said, I just took a few steps on the other side of the vending truck to talk to those cheerleaders. And he said, the vending truck was in the middle of the field. When you passed that vending truck, you were on the other side of the field. It doesn't matter how far you passed it. When you passed it, you were on the other side of the field. Now bend over. And he gave me hard swats. And that's when they broke my spirit. All the things that had happened up to that were just painful and frustrating. But that's when they broke my spirit. And I went back to class and I had my little jaw set. And I thought, you people are going to pay. You teachers, you principals, you school people. You know, you're going to pay. And I sat back down in class and my friend said, Evans, what happened? And I told him. They said, oh, no, really? And I turned to my friends and I said, let's have a contest, guys. And they said, really, what? And I said, let's see who can get the most swats this year. My friends went, awesome. They weren't smart, but they were sweet. And so for the rest of that year, we had a contest to see who could get the most swats, and I won. I was constantly in trouble, which meant I got more swats. I was winning the contest and I was frustrating all the teachers and principals, which was wonderful for me. That was my whole point. And so the last time I went to the principal's office that year, I was a little behind one of my friends. And I thought, I've got to get in trouble, get some good swats here and pull back in the lead. So I did something that was a sure 3 or 4 swatter, and they sent me to the principal's office. When I got to the principal's office, the principal met me and said, you see my face one more time this year, young man, you will not see high school. Do you understand me? That was a bad moment. Let me tell you another shocking moment in my life is the day that he joined my church in Amarillo. I thought I was in heaven. I'd seen the rapture or something. I didn't know, but you see my face one more time, you will not see high school. And I mean, I was mad at him. He was mad at me. We locked eyes and was like, go ahead, make my day. I was so mad at him, you know, and just annoying him was a wonderful thing. So somehow I got to high school. When I got to high school, I was always in trouble. 10 years ago, a woman in our church in Amarillo walked up to me and said, Pastor Jimmy, my mother stopped teaching because of you. And I said, who's your mother? And she told me, and I said, oh, yes, I'm sure she did. You know, I remembered everything. So anyway, I was horrible in high school, was always in trouble because I was mad and I was hurt. And it accumulated, and I didn't know how to deal with it. When I met Karen in high school, I was an athlete. I was a pretty good kid, and I was an athlete. And I played sports in high school, but I began smoking, drinking, fighting, and being immoral. And I looked back in my past one day, and I was thinking, when did I change? When did I become a bad kid? When did all these things happen? That moment. That moment in the principal's office. I want to say something to all the young people here. I made a wrong response. Teachers and principals and school administrators have a very, very tough job to do, and they deserve respect. Okay, and I made a wrong response, and I want to say that very clearly. I wasted those years. I truly did. And they were only trying to do their job. And I just, you know, I got hurt in the process, and I made a wrong response. And so the pain that accumulated in me, compromised mentally, spiritually, emotionally, in every way, I just became an unhealthy person in the way that I dealt with it. Number four emotional fact of life is we all deal with pain in some way, right or wrong. You have to deal with pain. You can't not deal with it. And so all of us deal with pain in some way. Is the issue is never the issue. When you're dealing with alcoholism or drug addiction or food addiction or gambling addictions or sex addictions or anything, the issue is never the issue. To an alcoholic, alcohol is not the issue. Pain's the issue. We're dealing with pain. And when a person goes to Alcoholics Anonymous and they've helped millions of people break alcohol addictions, but when you go to Alcoholics Anonymous and they have their 12 steps, the first step is fess up. Start talking about that thing you won't talk about. See, every time there's pain in our life, the devil puts fear and shame around it, so we'll keep it in the darkness. Fear and shame. We don't want to talk about it. It hurts too much. We're too ashamed of it or whatever. But understand this, anything in the darkness is in the devil's domain because he's the prince of darkness. Whatever's in the light belongs to God because he's the God of all light. So the devil's greatest interest in our lives is to keep pain there by putting fear and shame or whatever it is upon that thing, or just secrecy. When I became a Christian, you know, and even when I had my quiet times, I could read my Bible and pray. I could spend time with God as long as it wasn't silence. Because God, you know that book, Boundaries, that it's a great book for people to read. I don't think God's ever read that book. God will put his finger right in the middle of your cereal bowl and stir. He's God, he owns us, and he wants to talk about what he wants to talk about. And he doesn't talk surface stuff, the weather, sports, what'd you kill last weekend, that kind of stuff. He goes right to the heart of the matter, abuse, anger, bitterness, hurt, betrayal. He wants to talk about what's really on our hearts. And as a young believer, I was afraid. I loved the Lord, but I was afraid of those moments of silence because I knew in those moments I was vulnerable because God was wanting to talk to me about some things I didn't want to talk about. They hurt too much. There was too much shame there. The devastation of certain events in my childhood. And let me tell you about the silly thing about hiding from God. You're hiding from your healer. When he touches pain, it doesn't hurt. When he touches pain, it goes away. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest, for I am gentle and humble, and you'll find rest for your soul. See, when you're hurting, your worst nightmare is somebody jabbing at it. He doesn't jab. He's very gentle, and he touches. The Bible says that a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish until he leads justice to victory. And that means if you're the most shattered, broken life in the world, he will not deal with you roughly or disrespectfully. He understands, and he's a healer, and he'll take the devastation of your life and touch it gently and heal it. He's the only person who can heal the wounds of our past. And I want to say, in those moments when I wouldn't be silent and let the Lord deal with me, I continued to pain, continued to hurt, and I just went and did, always busy, until the day I sat in the presence of God finally and let him begin to deal with the issues of my life. The fifth emotional reality of life is the only way to stop the hurt and totally resolve it is to turn it toward God, to empty the hurt pocket. Okay, this is Matthew 5:4. This is one of the Beatitudes, and I'm sure you've heard the scripture before. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Okay, Jesus is always right. I'm going to disagree with him for just a minute, then I'm going to come back and agree with him, because he's always right. There are a lot of people who mourn who aren't blessed. There are people all over the world who are in anguish, but they're not blessed and they're not comforted. So when you have a simple read of this and you think people are blessed because they're mourning, that is incorrect. And let me offer a paraphrase, a fuller paraphrase of this to explain what this does mean. Blessed are those who turn their pain toward God, for their pain will be validated, understood, and healed. You're not blessed because you're mourning. Jesus is saying, you're blessed if you'll turn your pain toward me. And he was talking about a nation that was devastated under Roman occupation. Bring your pain to me. I'll comfort you. I'll take care of that pain. Pain, emotional pain, only heals in the presence of light. It's not like your body. It won't go away if you don't talk about it. It won't go away if you deny it. It's still there. It's still accumulating. It's still changing and compromising the way that we live our lives. But Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who bring their pain to God, because I'll comfort you. And here are the emotional requirements, the essential requirements for emotional healing. And I'm finished. Number one is just honesty before God. You got to get honest. You just, Lord, I open my heart to you and I trust you with these issues of my life that I'm hurting, and talk about those things in the presence of the Lord. He's not ashamed of you. There's nothing that you've done that will make him reject you, regardless if you did it to yourself or someone did it to you. And when there's abuse and when there is failure and when there are all those things in our past, again, the devil puts fear and shame there to keep them in darkness. And we've got to break out of that, understanding that God is not my problem. God is my solution. And God is not trying to find a reason to reject me. He already found a reason to love me, and it was Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. We have been accepted by God, and we are his children, and we can boldly go before the throne of grace with any issue in our lives to find mercy and grace in our time of need. He's my healer. He's my friend. He's the great physician. He knows how to heal my pain. And by the way, Jesus understands pain more than any other person in the world. He went through more of it. When we go to Jesus with our pain, he understands it. He sympathizes with it. That's what the Bible says. But I have to get honest. I have to bring it into the light. Number two is responsibility to God. I've got to take responsibility for my behavior. I can't. People may have done things to me. Life does not form me. My response to life forms me. My parents did this. My brothers did this. My friends did this. Whatever it might be. But understand this. Even though they may have done it to me, I can overcome it. I'm not a victim. I'm not a helpless pawn on a sea of fate. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I'm not helpless. And you see in family systems, I'm thinking of one family right now who had a lot of dysfunction in their family and pain. And three children, one came out full of hate and still won't talk to anyone 30 years later. The other one came out addictive, rebellious and addictive, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of things, and are that way to this day. And the other person came out, turned to Christ, turned back, led their parents to the Lord, and discipled their parents. We have a choice. We have a choice in how we respond. Life doesn't form me. My response to life forms me. And I can make right decisions, but it always begins with responsibility rather than blame transfer. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned and God came up to Adam and said, what is this that you've done? And he said, that woman you gave me. Men have been saying it ever since. Then he went to Eve, said, what is this that you've done? She said, the devil made me do it. Well, come on. They were grown-ups. They could have taken the right response, but instead they blamed each other. Listen, regardless of what other people have done to me, that's fine. I take responsibility for my own behavior. I'm going to take responsibility what God tells me to do. Here's the bad thing. See, if another person is the problem, they're also the solution, and I'm helpless. Regardless of what they did, Jesus is the solution, and if I do the right thing, I can overcome. Take responsibility for your behavior. And number three is mercy from God for me and to those who have hurt me. I'm going to say two things now as I close. Forgive yourself. Sometimes we may be able to believe that God forgives us and he'll forgive anything that we've done. But sometimes we don't forgive ourselves. Regret is one of the greatest things the devil uses to cause misery in our lives. Just regret. Because Jesus died for me on the cross, I don't have to live with regret. I am forgiven, and whatever I did wrong, I can learn from it. Let me say this. Karen and I almost divorced. I was a horrible, dominant, verbally abusive husband. And God now uses that to heal millions of people around the world. The greatest failures, the greatest scars in your life, turn to God, can become the greatest glory to God in your life. Well, I hope that message was a blessing to you. This information is so critical for us to get into our lives and to understand that the hurts that we have can be resolved, and it changes everything. Right now, when you support our ministry, we're a ministry and a mission. We go across America and around the world. We want to put this information into your hands. And right now, for your gift of any amount to support us here at Marriage Today, I want to give you my new book, When Life Hurts. And it has this information in it, plus a lot more. For your gift of $65 or more right now to Marriage Today, we want to put the four-part CD series, The Hurt Pocket, into your hands, along with a book, When Life Hurts. And for your gift of $90 or more, we want to put the four-part DVD series, The Hurt Pocket, into your hands, along with a book. Now, this is life-changing information to heal you, to heal your marriage, maybe your children, maybe your family, maybe somebody that you care about. But all this information right now is available. And when you give to the ministry here, you're supporting us and helping us come back to you and go all over the world. And you're blessing yourself through these resources. So we want to put these into your hands. Here's how you can get them.
Find hope and healing from the pain you carry with Jimmy's inspiring series, The Hurt Pocket, available on CD and DVD. We'll also include Jimmy's companion book, When Life Hurts. The CD series and book are yours for a gift of $65 or more. The DVD series and book for $90 or more. The Hurt Pocket series will show you how to identify and resolve the hurts of life, God's desire to heal and redeem you, and the steps to making peace with your past.
Let me tell you about the silly thing about hiding from God. You're hiding from your healer. When he touches pain, it doesn't hurt. When he touches pain, it goes away.
When you support Marriage Today with a gift of any amount, we'll send you Jimmy's latest book, When Life Hurts. Create a positive legacy as you heal from the hurts of life. Experience the Hurt Pocket series today.
You know, I've never met a person that didn't have hurts in their lives. And, you know, we have past hurts, but we have present hurts, you know, kind of the ongoing things that we experience in life. You know, maybe there's hurtful people around you saying some hurtful things, or you know, whatever those issues are, we need to resolve our hurts because they accumulate. And that's what I'm talking about in this teaching. Those hurts don't go away. Time doesn't resolve anything. It may help us to get a little different perspective on things, but time does not heal all wounds, but God does. When we bring our hurts in the presence of God, God heals our wounds. But remember, any time that the devil's trying to work in our lives, he puts shame and fear in those hurts, so we don't want to talk about them. Or maybe you talk to everybody about them, but you don't bring them to God. All healing begins as we're honest to God and we say that hurt. The second thing that we have to do to get healing is do what God tells us to do. First of all, beginning with forgiveness. The mother of all issues in healing is forgiving. Maybe your mom, your dad, stepmom, stepdad, an ex-spouse, an ex-business partner, you know, a sibling, whoever it might have been. When you don't forgive, you literally stay connected emotionally to that event. You know, Jesus said if we don't forgive other people, that we don't get forgiven. And so there's just that connection that we have in a negative way. And Jesus said, bless those that curse you. And this is the most powerful thing that we do in forgiveness, is not just kind of, you know, saying, I forgive that person, but literally blessing that person. And they may be dead. They may have done some horrible things to you. But listen, I like this saying, you know, forgiveness doesn't make them right. It just makes me free. And I'll never be free from that event until I'm able to look back, to bring it before God, to forgive and anything else that God wants me to do. In other words, to take responsibility for my behavior and don't go through life as a victim, but just simply to say, I'm going to overcome this, and I'm going to do anything that God tells me to do to overcome this and to be the person that God wants me to be. Now listen, I was telling about some of the things that have happened in my life. And the things that I've talked about in this series of messages, these are not the worst things that have ever happened to me by far. I've had things that happened to me, and I'm sure you have too, that were devastating, that I wondered when they happened if I could continue to exist as a human being. Let me say, I did because of Jesus Christ. I did because of forgiveness. I did because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And I want you to know, you don't have to be defined by the hurts in your life. That's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to come and mess you up, lay you down, and you to be a monument to his power. Jesus wants to take you, clean you up, heal you up, and for you to be a testimony of his power. But for that to happen, you've got to bring your hurts to God. You've got to bring them into the light. You've got to do what God tells you to do. And I hope that's an encouragement to you. You know, we're able to come to you right now and bring this message to you because of the people who stand with us financially. And I just want to say for everyone who gives to Marriage Today, a one-time gift or a monthly gift, thank you so much. No gift is ever too small or too large. We need it to do what we're doing, and we appreciate it very much. And as well as the people who just give to us a one-time gift, we have people who give to us every month. They're called our Rock Solid Partners. And there are different levels of partnership. But as a partner, you get resources and premiums every month that no one else gets except for our partners. Karen and I are asking you to stand with us here in Marriage Today as we go across America and around the world, helping people to succeed in their marriage and family. And here's how you can be a partner.
Going through divorce is a lot to ask of children and often results in years of emotional pain. It's a violent ripping apart of their parents and a sense of abandonment. What sometimes we see as a quick way out can mean complete loss for a child.
You have a 100% chance of success in marriage. You were made for marriage.
Marriage Today exists to protect children from the pain of divorce and to steer couples away from marital failure by telling them the truth. When you stand with Marriage Today, your individual effort multiplies with other like-minded partners, and together we can rebuild the legacy of strong families around the world. Choose your level of partnership today and receive immediate access to the video streaming library. Become a rock solid partner today.
Thanks for watching. Follow Marriage Today for more marriage building tips and resources.